Simon to be with us. And I think we're in an amazing season, an amazing series of Vision Sunday, looking at what God has in store for us in 2023. And we want to set out all that God is calling us to be this year. We want to be all that God is calling us into. And today's message is an important message on the anointing and the supernatural gifts in our life. As I believe that there's going to be a significant shift in your life this year. There is going to be a shift in your life, in our church life, in our community, and in our culture, where we're going to see things like fear, depression, anxiety, disappointment driven out of our lives. And we're going to be elevated into a life filled with love, joy, peace, honor, courage, hope, and faith as we enter into a time where God's power is going to increase in our lives, and we are regularly going to see things like deliverance, prophecy, healing, and salvation becoming a great feature in our lives this year. Amen. Who wants that for their lives? Amen. Amen. I'm going to read... let me get a volunteer. Talia, you fancy it? Come down. Come down and read the bit. Let's give Talia a hand. Be bold, be brave. It's amazing. It's amazing. All right, turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel 16, and we're going to be reading from verses 1 to 13. You do need a mic. You do need a mic. You're telling me now. Well done, mate. From verse 1 to 13.
Now the Lord said to Samuel, "You have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king." But Samuel asked, "How can I do that? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." "Take a heifer with you," the Lord replied, "and say that you have come to make a sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you which of his sons to anoint for me." So Samuel did as the Lord instructed. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town came trembling to meet him. "What's wrong?" they asked. "Do you come in peace?" "Yes," Samuel replied. "I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Purify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then Samuel performed the purification rite for Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice too. When they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, "Surely this is the Lord's anointed." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse told his son Abinadab to step forward and walk in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "This is not the one the Lord has chosen." Next, Jesse summoned Shimeah. But Samuel said, "Neither is this the one the Lord has chosen." In the same way, all seven of Jesse's sons were presented to Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Then Samuel asked, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse replied, "but he's out in the fields watching the sheep and goats." "Send for him at once," Samuel said. "We will not sit down to eat until he arrives." So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes, and the Lord said, "This is the one, anoint him." So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Then Samuel returned to Ramah.
Amen. Give her a hand, guys. Amen. Hold on, mate. Thank you. Thank you. You know what? As you were speaking there, Talia, I really felt like God was saying that sometimes people are going to be unprepared, like I was. I didn't ask someone to do a reading. And people are going to need you in an instant of a call. And I feel like God is saying to you in this season, you're going to enter into a season where he wants you to be ready for when he calls. And he's going to call you into amazing things this year. Amen. Come down the front after and get prayer, yeah? Amen. Amen. This preacher is going to be slightly different. I'm just going to break out in the prophetic whenever I feel like it and just see what God says. Is that all right? Come on. So, walking in the anointing. And the supernatural power in life is constantly living in the presence of God. And it's in the presence of God that we will be able to fulfill God's calling and purpose in our lives. But it also doesn't mean that we're not going to experience problems along the way. It also doesn't mean that we may fall off our motorbike on the way to a preach. I'm okay. I'm okay. The bike ain't, but God is good. Amen? But you know what? In that moment, I realized that what on earth am I doing here? What on earth is going on? All I want to do is get to Basildon and speak about God. All I want to do is be around people. And sometimes being in church and being around our people is actually a safe place. It's actually a safe place for some. And when things go wrong in our life, when our life sort of gets a bit messy, the first thing we think of is, I just want to be in church. I just want to be in God. And sometimes we feel like we're being dragged away. Sometimes we feel like we're being stopped in our tracks in getting to God. And I just want to encourage you that if that's you, if you're in that space, keep going. Because God has a purpose and a plan for you, and you are about to enter into the calling that God has for you. I didn't stop. I got back up on my bike and I drove to Basildon and preached God's gospel. Wherever you're going through in life, get back up and go into all that God has for you. Amen? Amen. So walking in the anointing requires us to live a life of consecration, prayer, and fasting so that we can maintain the presence of God in our lives. And I'm often reminded of the scripture in Luke 4 where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." That is the calling that we have in life. And therefore, in this coming year, let us walk in the anointing and walk in the supernatural gifts that we have been given by God so that we are able to fulfill our calling through Christ Jesus. And when we look at Jesus and we look at Paul, we look at the early church, they modeled it really well. The model of the early church teaches us that these things should be a regular experience in our lives. Where the early church flourished against all odds in a society with competing religions, ideologies, they were facing death as well if they carried on. They did amazing. They spreaded the gospel to the ends of the earth. They performed miracles. They were acting and walking in their calling. And surely this was because they followed the simple formula that Jesus demonstrated in preaching the gospel, healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, loving God and loving people. So church, if we want to see this in our day, if we want to see this in our church, then we need to be a place where the power of God is present, the gospel is preached, and our lives are lived in a look at what God did kind of way. We need to get to a place, and I'm going to take you on that journey today. We need to get to a place of healing, of restoration, and repentance so that we can be empowered by God to discover, to develop and to deploy the gifts that God has given each one of us. And God has given each one of you a gift. And some of you don't know what they are. Some of you do know what they are, but you haven't done anything about it. Each of us have our own gifts given to us by God. And the question is, what are you going to do with what you've been given? God has given you gifts for a purpose. And 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Each one as a good manager of God's different gifts must use them for the good of others, the special gifts that he has received from God." Crystal, how you doing? You all right? So good. Give a round of applause for Crystal, guys. She is an amazing woman of God. She is in my home group. And Crystal, I just got a word for you. I feel like God is calling you into a time of start to know your gifts and start walking in them. But I believe you're being called into a season like a Mount of Olives. Jesus always went to the Mount of Olives to be with the Father, to pray, to learn, to grow, just to spend time with him. And it was out of the Mount of Olives that he performed miracles and he performed his calling. but you started in the presence of God. And I feel like God is calling you into a new season of intimacy and relationship. And out of that, you're going to be walking in your calling and walking in the supernatural gift that God has placed in your heart. Amen? Amen. Come down the front. I want to pray for you after, yeah? Come on. So the question is, do you know what your purpose is? Do you know what you were created for by God to do? Do you know what your destiny is? Do you know what your gifts are? For us to fulfill our calling and our destiny in life, we must first recognize the gifts that God has given us to use. And these gifts are basically the cards that we've been dealt with in life. And they include things that you can't even control. Things that were out of your power. Things like your mum and dad. Things like your upbringing, your childhood. Things like your education, the place you grew up. Your nationality, your race, your skin colour. They include your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, and the experiences you've had in life. These are the things that make you uniquely and wonderfully you. And you're responsible for making the most of the gifts that God has given you, but you're not responsible for the ones that He didn't give you. In other words, if you're like me and you're not artistically gifted, then you're not going to be asked to paint a picture like Picasso. Or if you're someone who's not mechanically gifted, then you're not going to be asked by your neighbor to give them an oil change in their car. Or if you're like me and you can't play an instrument, Lloyd is not going to ask me to pick up a guitar and play. We need to establish what our gifts are and what our skills are, and don't worry about the ones that we don't have. God expects us to use our own gifts for the good of others. And I'll give you a personal story. I remember when I was growing in the prophetic, when I first started getting it, I started to hear from God, and it was weird. I started to get a picture, started to get a word, and I remember standing at the back, like going, oh, wow, yeah, God spoke to me, like, oh, yeah. Like, Angela's always going up and giving prophetic words. I thought, God, are you wanting me to do this now? Are you speaking to me? And it's like, okay. No, I'm not going to do it. And then the following week come, and it's like, okay, God's speaking to me, okay, okay, okay. Nope, still not doing it, nope, not doing it, I can't do it like Angela. Can't do it like Angela, I'm not gifted like Angela. And then I finally got a word that I actually liked, and I was like, okay, no, I'm going to give this one, this makes me look good, yeah, this makes me look good. And I went down to Clive, and I was like, Clive, I've got a word from God, this is what I feel God is saying to me. And I was waiting to be handed the mic, and Clive went, well done. God is speaking to you. Keep worshipping and develop that gift. But I had it. I wanted to share it. And I got sent away. And then I said to myself, you know what? I ain't doing it now. If I can't do it like Angela, I ain't doing it at all. You know what I mean? But I realized that I had a gift. I realized there was something there. And the question is, what am I going to do about it? Because when we get to heaven, I realize that God is going to ask us one question. He's going to ask you, what did you do with what you were given? Or what could you have done if you had just trusted God that little bit more? Romans 14:12 says, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. So I needed to realize in that moment that I needed to stop comparing myself to Angela, who is amazingly gifted in it, and I needed to start to establish my gifting in it. And maybe that's where you're at. Maybe you're looking around and thinking, I can't do what they do. I can't be like that person. Good, you weren't supposed to be. So stop comparing yourself and start fulfilling the purpose that God has given you. Start walking in the gifts that God has given you. Have you been comparing yourself lately? Have you been looking at others and thinking, you know what, I know I've got it, but they do it better. What makes you think that they do it better? What makes you think that God loves them more than you? As Talia just read, 1 Samuel 16:7, it says the Lord doesn't look at the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Are you willing? Are you humble? Your life has value. Your life has purpose. And no matter what you've been told by someone in your life, no matter what you've been told by the culture you've been brought up in, or by the lies that Satan's put in your head, you are infinitely precious to God. And he thought of you and he made you to love you, and he cares about every single detail about you. And your life reveals God's purpose and it shows God's glory. You are valuable no matter who you are or where you've come from. And that's the same for every single one of us. We're all different. We're all able and gifted differently. But God looks at us the same. He looks at us with love. And let's be honest, none of us are perfect. But the Bible tells us that God accepts responsibility for all our genetic defects. Did you know that? God accepts responsibility for all of our genetic defects. Now, that doesn't include all the things that have gone wrong in your life because of poor decisions and bad decisions you've made. But it means all the genetic weaknesses that we didn't have any say in. That's a part of the way that God shaped us. I look at little Molly. For those of you that know, little Molly, she's got ADD and she's on the spectrum. She's being tested. I don't know the full ins and outs. I really don't understand it. But what I do know about Molly is that even though, yes, she has disabilities, yes, she has struggles, she knows who her God is and she loves her God. And when people are sick in her home, she tells them, pray to God for heal you. In fact, you know what? I'll do it myself. And she goes and prays for people. Molly does not let her situation, her problems, stop her from loving God and doing what God has called her to do. Are you going to let that stop you? Are you going to let what's going on in your life stop you from doing all that God has called you to do? God isn't going to compare us with anybody else because he made you to be you. And you are his masterpiece. And he's looking at how we use the gifts that God has given us. And not only that, he's going to help us reach our full potential. So we're not supposed to waste any more time thinking that we don't have something to offer the world or comparing ourselves to other people. And if you're in that place of comparison will lead to competitive behaviors. It will lead to a life of destroying relationships. It will kill the spirit in your life. So if you're in that place, now's the time to stop. Because now is the time to live for the shape that God shaped you for, to live in the purpose that God has made you for, to work in the giftings that God has given you. Amen? You were shaped for a great purpose for God. And maybe you're asking, yeah, that's all great, Sam. But I don't know what it is. How am I supposed to figure out what my gifting is? How am I supposed to figure out what my purpose is in God? Adrian said the word earlier, my favorite word, opportunity. Take every opportunity that God gives you, even if it's serving in setting up, even if it's making someone a cup of tea, even if it's praying for someone, take every opportunity that God gives you. Because you're not meant to figure it out on your own. We're meant to change our mindset. Our mindset needs to be a kingdom mindset. When we look at the kingdom of heaven, we look at love, joy, peace, all the fruits of the spirit, but we also look at a place where there's no anger, there's no jealousy, there's no greed, there's no envy, there's no sickness. That's the mindset that we need to bring into our lives and bring it out into the lives around us. It's how we have lasting change in our life. If you want to have a lasting change in your life, then we need to refocus our minds onto the kingdom of heaven. We need to have a kingdom mindset. And when I look at, when I think of, how can I explain that to you from a biblical perspective, I think of probably the most overused scripture, but still the blueprint that we need to change our thought patterns. Romans 12 verse 2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's break that down. It says, do not conform. It means do not copy. Do not blend in. God doesn't want you to be like someone else. He wants you to be the person that he made you to be. So instead of conforming and copying, be yourself. Secondly, the pattern of this world. Pattern means the model of everything that we've learned in life. If you want to change, we must change the pattern or model of living that we've learned in our lives, and we need to replace the old with the new life, which is modeled after Christ. Be yourself and be like Jesus. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed is the same word that we use for metamorphosis. This is the only thing I learned in school. Metamorphosis comes from my favourite child book, The Hungry Caterpillar. Everyone here knows The Hungry Caterpillar? Yeah, that's a sick book. Anyway, it's a journey that a caterpillar goes through to turn into a butterfly, and it's the same thing for us. To be transformed, when we get that kingdom mindset, God wants to transform us into a completely new person by renewing our minds. How does this happen? The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4 to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your minds, and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. This means that we're going to have to do some putting off and then some putting on. And the putting off has to come first before we put on the new. It's like as if we go to Primark or H&M. You know, when you want to try on something new, you've got to take off the old stuff first. I do recommend doing it in the changing rooms, though, because I don't like it when you do it on the shop floor. I don't know, every time I do it, I always get in trouble. But we've got to do that first. We've got to take off the old before we put on to new. And today is the day that we start to let go of old habits, old ways, old mindsets, old beliefs, old thought patterns and images that we've been living in life. And we need to get ready to put on the new garments, the new mindset that God has for you. Amen? Amen. 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 Lauren, how you doing? You all right? Yeah? I can't hear you. Great. I'm all good. I've got a picture while I was preparing this. And are you okay if I speak to you? You all good? Yeah? I've got a picture of you standing under a glorious fruit tree with a basket. And you want the fruit that's in it. It's juicy, it's sweet, and it's good for you. But the tree's too high. And you feel like that you can't get to it. You feel like you're not worthy for it. Then suddenly there's a rumble and the ground starts to shake. Things become a bit scary. And you keep your balance. You're standing on the rock that is Jesus. You're keeping your balance, but then it stops. I feel like you're about to come out of a season where in the silence and in the still of the rumbling stopping, the fruits are just going to drop into your basket, and they're going to overflow out of it into every area of your life. I feel like God is elevating you into a new season where he's going to give you your gifts, and he wants you to run in it. And all he wants you to do is stay in this position of just looking up and receiving. Because it may be unreachable to you, but God doesn't want you to reach. He's going to come down to you. Come down afterwards, yeah, for prayer. Woo! We need to make our talents and our skills matter in life. We need to spend our time building the character to be more like Jesus. Many of us have a misconception of heaven. Many of us believe that when we get to heaven, we're going to be sitting back, eating burgers, wearing a white robe, playing a harp, and floating on a cloud somewhere in the world. That is not what heaven is all about. That's not biblical. Do you really want to spend eternity doing that? God has plans for us to serve in heaven. And we will have the most enjoyable work to do. It's not going to be the work that you're thinking of right now. Oh, I've got to wake up at 5, go to work, long day. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be incredible works. It's going to be incredible works that Jesus called us to do right now. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, and just tell people about God. That's the work we're going to do now. But in heaven, it's going to be far greater. And earth is the time and place that we have to learn to start practicing that. Start preparing ourselves for heaven. Because if you hope that God's going to give you a place of serious service in eternity, you can't spend your time on earth just living for yourself. Can you imagine if Cristiano Ronaldo just gone to Saudi Arabia earning mega bucks and he just turns up to football and just says, you know what, I'm just going to live for me. You know what? I'm just going to do me. I'm here. I'm just going to do me. I'm just going to sit on the bench. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do, coach. I'm going to sit on the bench and I'm just going to do me. And then suddenly a big final comes up. The glory comes. Yeah, you're in the world's biggest cup final. And then Cristiano Ronaldo turns to his coach and goes, right, coach, I'm ready. Put me on the A team. I'm ready to go. His coach is going to go, you having a laugh? You haven't trained. You haven't done any work. You have no skill. You have no ability. There's no way I'm putting you on the A team in this game. You didn't make it count off the pitch. Why do I think that you're going to make it count on the pitch? It's the same for us. If we just spend our life kicking back on the beach and saying, I'm just going to live for me. And then when we get to heaven and say, okay, God, take me off the bench now. I'm ready to play for the A team. Let me serve you now. God's going to say, forget it. What serving skills did you develop on earth? You have no serving ability. God wants us to understand this, that right now we are in a season, this time, right now, this year, we are in a season where God wants to get us ready for the real thing. He wants to take, you're only going to take to heaven two things. You're going to take yourself, your character, your skills. That's it. The character you build and your skills, that is it. You're not going to take money. You're not going to take your car. You're not going to take your home. You're not going to take any single material possession you have. But we're not supposed to waste our time on the things that we're not going to take with us and start working and spending time developing and serving our skills and building the character to be more like Jesus, because that is what we're taking with us to heaven. How is it going using your talents for God? How's it going using your gifts and your skills? Or are you using them at all? Are you using them for yourself? God wants us to serve him here on earth so that we can serve him forever in heaven. And maybe you're in a place, Sam, I can't do it. This is all well and good, and I know that's what the Bible says, but I can't do it. I'm inadequate. I can't do it. That's fine. I know you can't. But you're not supposed to. God's Spirit is supposed to be working through you. It's God that does it with you. Let me just read a scripture quick. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. You want to come down? No, I'm joking. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples that I have been given all authority on heaven and in earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach the new disciples to obey all that I have commanded you to do, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, loving God, loving people. And be sure of this, I am with you always till the end of age. God's Spirit is working in each and every one of you. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to produce that Christ-like character in you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3, the Lord makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. And this process of changing you to become more like Jesus is called sanctification. You can't reproduce the character of Jesus in your own strength. And it doesn't matter what New Year's resolutions you've made, or willpower you have, or best intentions you give, they're not enough. Only the Holy Spirit has the power to make the changes that God wants to make in your life and give you the power to walk in the supernatural gifts and the anointing that God has given you in your life. Let me carry on with that story real quick. I'll finish with this. So, didn't want to do the prophetic anymore. Clive said no, so I'm not going to do it. But God kept speaking to me. God kept giving me words and pictures. And I went through a phase of going, no, God, I don't want to give that. That's pony. I don't want to give that. And then Angela went down and gave it. Oh, you told her. All right. What about me? And then I started to get pictures again. I started to get words. And you know what? I thought, God is really speaking to me and I need to start doing what God has called me to do. So I went over to Angela and I was like, if Clive says no, I know Angela's not going to say no. And I gave Angela the word and she said, that is absolutely brilliant. I was like, do you want to go share it? And she went, no, you go and do it. But, oh, okay, but Clive's going to say no. Like, I'm walking down, I'm like, Clive's going to say no. And then I got to down the front, and I got to Clive, gave him the word, and he went, brilliant. There's the mic. Share it. Direct people to God. He gave me a bit of guidance, you know, direct people to God, encourage them, speaking lovingly. And I'm like, yeah, I know how it works. I've seen Angela and you did. It's all good. Bosh. Come up. Tree, God, fruit, amen. So I just ran off. I didn't know what I was doing. I bowled it. I didn't know. And then Clive and Angela came up and sort of just ironed it out a bit. But I got nervous. All that time behind the scenes going, yeah, God's going to use me. God speaks to me. As soon as you get up the front, it's like, rah, too many phases. I ain't doing this. You know what? In your gifting, the reason why I'm telling you this story is this. In your gifting, you will come against struggle. You will come against battles. But I had to struggle through that so that I can walk in the calling that God has for my life. And God was there. God was there. The gift works. And now I'm having fun with God. I'm having fun with my Father. The same goes for you. Don't be scared. Don't live in fear. You all have a special gift. It's time to start growing in it. Can we stand real quick? We're going to do something slightly different today. There's an invitation for us today. If you want to be part of this new culture shift that God has for us this year, if you want to be moving into this year, if you want to be elevated into the power of God in your life, where you get to walk in the supernatural gifts and the anointing, where you get to see love, generosity, joy, honor, courage, hope, faith, freedom and love, where deliverance, prophecy, healing and just freedom coming into your life and becoming the norm, now is the time to receive it. And we have to go on a journey. It starts with repentance. It starts with transforming our minds. And then we get to run with Jesus.